Hi, I'm Aaron Gadiel, and my favorite thing is the New Orleans Jazz and Heritage Festival.
Welcome to the Finding Favorites podcast, where we explore your favorite things without using an algorithm. Here's your host, Leah Jones.
Hello and welcome to Finding Favorites. I'm your host, Leah Jones, and this is the podcast where we learn about people's favorite things and we get recommendations without using an algorithm. Today, I am joined live from the shores of Lake Michigan, which I guess technically I am too, but he's on the Michigan side of things, by my friend Aaron Gadiel. Aaron, how are you doing today?
I'm great, Leah. Thanks for having me.
It's good to see you. As a preview to our topic, you are wearing a fantastic shirt today. So later we're going to be talking about the Jazz Fest in New Orleans. Is this part of your standard Jazz Fest wardrobe?
Yes, this is a official Jazz Fest shirt. They call them Hawaya shirts, Howya shirt, and every year there's a new design, and so every year they come out. This is the Cafe au lait and beignet shirt.
Oh, those are coffee cups. Yes, you're like looking down on top of coffee cups, and there's spoons in the coffee, and there are different colors of coffee with different amounts of cream, and there's coffee beans.
Exactly. And there's beignets here. Oh, here's a beignet down here somewhere.
Nice. Oh, there's one on your shoulder too.
Yeah, exactly. So this is the official shirt, and it's, you know, it's that nice lightweight where, you know, during the humid times of New Orleans, it comes in really handy. So I have a whole closet full of annual Hawaya shirts.
Oh, that's so fun. Well, we'll get into that in a little bit. But what has been keeping you busy in Michigan lately?
Ooh, yeah. What has been keeping me busy is really just slowing down. One of the big reasons we moved to this side of the lake was just to slow down. 25 years in Chicago, and it was time to, turn the volume down a little bit. So slower pace, small town vibe. We recently bought a house, and my favorite story is that while doing the inspection for the house, I'm talking to my real estate agent, and somehow the topic of chickens came up. Mm-hmm. And I said, "Oh, do you have chickens?" And she said, "Oh yeah, I have 13 chickens." And I said, do you have eggs? And she said, "Oh, I have the best eggs ever." And I have been looking for farm fresh eggs for like the last 6 months.
Yeah.
And she's like, "I got you covered." And so my real estate agent is also my egg farmer, which is to me just like classic small town stuff. And
that's not going to happen in Chicago.
It's kind of not. And let me tell you, these eggs are phenomenal. I just made some this morning. Keeping busy. I've got my consulting firm, Gadiel Group, which works with in the retail real estate world, which is a world that is going through an incredible transition and evolution right now. And so I'm sort of at the forefront of that. And then, as I mentioned, recently started a creativity coaching practice.
Which that I was my, love yeah. for you because Thanks. When we were seeing each other more regularly, Aaron was the guy in Chicago you went to if you had an empty retail space and you wanted to do a pop-up experience, a pop-up store. You wanted to do something other than sign a corporate lease. And I know that you also would help get like a strong retailer leases, in. Yeah. You're not against those. But when people wanted to really think outside of the big box store about how to use a space, like you were the guy.
Thank you.
And so creativity coaching to me makes so much sense. Like it's such a clear, there's a clear connection to me and what you've done professionally to how you can help people. How long do people sign up and they're like, "I'm going to work with Aaron for 6 months"? Is it they've got a specific project they're working on, or they're just like, I'm I'm acting like I'm trying to struggle out of mud, which nobody on the podcast can see. Like, when does somebody call you for creativity coaching?
Yeah, for sure. It's a great question. Generally speaking, I work with folks that are stuck in some way. I love working with entrepreneurs or wannabe entrepreneurs. And so entrepreneurs that are trying to figure out how to move their business forward or wannabe entrepreneurs that are trying to figure out how to create a business.
Yeah.
So a lot of side hustles turn full time. That and like, how do I navigate this? I don't know. I'm stuck. Or job transitions is a big one, but kind of in the same realm. The other group of folks that I love working with are creatives that either they know that there's something more. They're trying to turn their creativity into profit.
Yeah.
Right. I love drawing. I love writing. I love playing music, but I don't know how to make money doing it. I help navigate that path to profit. And then there's also this idea of creatives that just, there's a calling. It's like creatives with a calling is what I kind of call it, where like, I know there's something more here, but I don't know how to put my finger on it.
Yeah.
So an engagement, I offer, you know, initial consultations, I call them creation calls. That's just a way for us to kind of meet, get to know each other, see if I can even help you.
Yeah.
And just listen and support you. And then from there, we come up with some sort of engagement plan, whether sometimes it's 3 sessions, 10 sessions, 20 sessions. It really just depends on what the, you know, what we're after here. So, yeah, it's super fun. I love it. I'm just absolutely loving it.
Yeah. And I suspect that the, you know, one of the things we've learned over this pandemic is, as much as we value the face-to-face, sometimes the right person for us is across the country and we don't have to get on a plane. Are you working with people across the country or are you focused more like Michigan, Chicago?
International.
International. Oh, fantastic.
Yeah, because exactly to your point, the beauty of the video conferencing Zoom is that we can be in anywhere at any time. I've personally worked with a lot of coaches in my life.
Yeah.
And right now I have a coach. I'm actually working with 3 coaches right now. One of them is in Atlanta.
Yeah.
One of them is in Seattle. And one of them is in Oak Park, you know, Illinois.
Great.
So it's, yeah. And like, there's no separation. It just, we meet, we do our thing. And then we, I think it makes it easier.
Yeah.
I really do. Yeah, I mean, there's something about the in-session face-to-face thing, but, I don't know. I think we've all adapted well here.
Yeah. I think it's, I've certainly enjoyed access to, as you know, comedians have gone online. I've enjoyed being able to go to more live shows.
Right.
I miss, you know, I know that you're a big live music guy.
Yeah.
I cannot wait to be back in a venue.
Yeah.
I'm ready. Give me strangers.
I know.
And the energy of a crowd, but I have appreciated the accessibility of that Zoom and live streaming has afforded us.
And I think in some ways, when I think about like life events, whether it's like a wedding, a bar mitzvah, a funeral, I've been to several of those events where I never would have gone in person because they were, it wasn't feasible.
Yep.
And now we can all be together. And I think that's kind of beautiful. But yeah, I'm the same way. I cannot wait to be back in a music venue sweating up against someone I have never met before.
Yeah. 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 I have with the life cycle events and, you know, it's also fun. I get it. I'm a B-list invite to a lot of weddings. Like, and, but when it's a Zoom wedding, the B-list gets invited. And
they're all there. Yeah, we're all B-list invitees to most weddings, by the way.
So that's been fun, too.
Yeah. Yeah.
And you mentioned that you've moved to kind of small-town Michigan. You're getting farm-fresh eggs.
Yeah.
What are some of the other things you're really enjoying about this, you know, slowing down the pace a little bit?
I think the one is immediate access to the outdoors.
Mm-hmm.
I live in the town New Buffalo, which is quite literally on the lake, on Lake Michigan. And I mean, if I turn my head enough, I can actually see the lake from my house.
Oh, nice.
I can walk out my door and just be more or less be in nature immediately.
Mm-hmm.
And I really like that. Or take a quick drive and be like in the middle of a forest, you know, miles from nowhere. So that's really, I really like that. I love, this just sounds so corny, but one of the first things I did was I got a P.O. box.
Uh-huh.
And I love walking to my P.O. box. And and if there's like a thing in there, like you got to go up to the post, you know, postmaster and say, hey, I've got this note about a package. And she says, oh, yeah, you're over on Shore Drive, right? I mean, she like knows us by name.
Yeah.
I love that. I get really, really tickled by that. And then what's really cool is just finding, finding the enlightened, like my community, our tribe up here, you know, and when I moved to a new place, it's taken a little time and pandemic, I think, has slowed it down because no one's like really with each other, but just slowly but surely. The other day we went to this place called the Creative Sage Cottage.
Oh.
Yeah, which is this woman has literally turned this little cottage into, I think she had like 40 different kinds of sage and incense and crystals and, you know, just a really beautiful place in the middle of, you know, in Union Pier, Michigan, which is, don't blink, you'll miss it. And yet it's this really cool spot. So, so all of that, I'm just loving, that connection right now.
Yeah. When things are open again, if you haven't already, check out the Acorn Theater in Three Oaks.
Yes, I know it.
I used to, many years ago, take writing classes from one of the founders. Kim Clark has passed away since then, but there's a stained glass of an acorn in the Acorn Theater that my dad made.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, we went to a couple events there, and I studied with Kim for off and on for a few years. And so I had
Yeah, I have, it's been a while, but I mean, I do love the Journeyman Distillery right next door.
Yeah.
That's another thing I love. They make a great pre-mixed old fashioned that I'm enjoying.
Wonderful. Yeah. Well, I invited you here today, one, to catch up because we haven't seen each other in person in ages, and two, because you love the Jazz Fest in New Orleans, and I think that's an understatement.
That is an understatement, yeah.
What are we here to talk about today?
Yeah, so the first thing we're going to do, Leah, is we're going to teach you how to say New Orleans.
Less like a Hoosier, not New Orleans.
Yeah, not New Orleans. So it's N'AWLINS. Nolens.
Nolens.
Yeah,
Nolens.
Yeah, it's one. It's like one. New Orleans is one word. It just says Nolens.
Nolens. Yeah.
And then you'll know you're legit. and it's the New Orleans Jazz and Heritage Festival.
Okay.
Official name of the event.
All right. So time travel with me.
Yeah.
How were you introduced to the Nolens Jazz and Heritage Festival?
Yeah, perfect. So in 1991, one of my best friends, Ellen Ginsberg, asked me to drive from Miami, Florida to San Francisco with her during my spring break from junior in college, and which of course I said yes, because
of course,
what could be more fun than a week in a car with your best friend?
Yeah.
And you know, obvious, you know, hilarity ensued, and you know, locked out of the car, radiators busting on the side of the highway. But we, you know, there's all kinds of stories, including winning $1,000 in a podunk casino in Elko, Nevada. Anyway.
Perfect.
Right. But we did roll through New Orleans for the first time in my life. And it was a bit of a transformational experience.
Yeah.
To do that and just see that environment, see that world, and know that this was a place that I wanted to get back to at some point, because obviously we were passing through. And so the following year, I actually moved to New Orleans for a few months. It was post-college, just kind of like my same friend Ellen said, yeah. Hey, you want to move to New Orleans? And I said, yeah, sure. Why not? Of course.
Yeah.
And so we moved down there, and I was fresh out of college. I had no job. I had a little bit of money because my grandmother had passed away and left me like $15,000.
Yeah.
And I'm 22 years old, and $15,000 when you're 22, like I thought I was retiring, you know, like I was never
$15,000 in the early 90s when you're 22 is,
oh my, I was never working again.
No.
Like, yeah. And yet I tried to work, but inevitably, I could not find a job. So I did a lot of matinees and trips to, spend some time on Bourbon Street. And that was during a period of time of, we were there during Mardi Gras.
Okay. Yep.
And I said, all right, you know, and Mardi Gras is a whole thing, and it's pretty crazy. And I said, this is cool, but I think there's something more here. Mm-hmm. And I wasn't sure what it is. And everyone kept saying, oh, you got to come back for Jazz Fest. Got to come back for Jazz Fest. And at the time I was like, okay, great. I'll do that. And this is a little subcontext of the story is that, but at the time the Grateful Dead were still touring, and I was very enmeshed in my Grateful Dead touring days.
Yeah.
And being in New Orleans for, you know, whatever, a week or days it just didn't fit into my touring schedule with the Grateful Dead. so anyway, I left New Orleans. I went about my time, ran around the country with the Grateful Dead for a few more years until that carnival ended.
Yeah.
And really why that's important is because, so the Grateful Dead stopped touring, obviously in 1995, and it was the year later, it was actually 2 years later, 1997 was my first year where I said, hey, you know what? I'm looking for something else to do. Mm-hmm. Someone said, let's go to, it's probably Judy. Actually, it was Judy. Said, let's go to New Orleans for Jazz Fest. And nice. So, and at that time I was like, yes, I mean, I know the city. I used to live there. Let's go. I've been wanting to do that. Let's go. And so, yeah, since 1997, I think I've been there every year. I think I missed 1 year for some odd reason, but, and the Jazz Fest in New Orleans runs the last weekend of April through the first weekend of May.
Okay.
That is the traditional dates of the Jazz Fest. And so right now we sit here on Sunday, April 25th. Mm-hmm. And today would be the Sunday of the first weekend of Jazz Fest.
Okay.
So a part of why I'm wearing my shirt and obviously for this interview, but in the spirit of Jazz Fest. And so it runs the first weekend and then throughout the week and then the second weekend. And every year it's the same time period.
And it's because I had a boss in Colorado who also was, he went to Jazz Fest every year.
Yeah.
My memory of his stories is it seems like there's an outdoor festival part of it. Correct. And then are there shows and bars? Is it like as if Lollapalooza took over all of Chicago?
That's right. That's okay. Right. Yeah. So the way it works is there is a festival, an actual festival that you buy a ticket for.
Okay.
And that occurs at the fairgrounds, at the racetrack, mm-hmm. at the New Orleans racetrack and fairgrounds. So that's typically Friday, Saturday, Sunday of the first weekend, and then Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday of the second weekend.
Okay.
So there's 7 days. They actually, right before the year before the pandemic, they extended it to 8 days. But so those are the days that, like, yeah, and that starts at 11 o'clock in the morning and ends at 7 p.m.
Okay.
And then the music in the streets and the bars and anywhere they can stick a band in a PA system occurs from 7 p.m. till 11 a.m. the next day. And that is quite literally the truth.
Oh, my gosh.
It's 24 hours. And if you've been to New Orleans is a pretty, it's a late night town typically.
Sure, yeah.
Anyway. And so, when the Jazz Fest is in town, it's just nonstop. Now that said, the Friday, Saturday, Sunday. So the Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, in between, they call it quite frankly, the days between. Those are like rest and recovery days.
Okay.
There's still tons of stuff going on. There's just no action at the fairgrounds. So,
okay.
And what is incredible about the Jazz Fest, and I say this every time, is there are people that go to the Jazz Fest, they go to the fairgrounds, they spend their entire day at the fairgrounds, they go home, they go to sleep, they wake up the next day and they do that.
Yeah.
There are people that go to New Orleans for Jazz Fest and they never even go to the fairgrounds. Now, I think that's foolish and I have a lot of judgment about those people, but I'll reserve that judgment because there's really something special that happens on those fairgrounds during the day. I've been there when it's been monsoon New Orleans is a town below sea level.
Yes.
So when it rains really, really hard, the water doesn't really have a lot of places to drain.
Okay. Yeah.
Which makes for a fun, exciting, muddy, filled fairgrounds.
Yeah.
But then I've also been there on just the most glorious days with a slight breeze, the sun is shining, and everyone from the Neville Brothers to Alan Toussaint to Bruce Springsteen playing songs that'll make you cry. So, so being on the fairgrounds is a really special, in a lot of ways, spiritual experience for me and for many people. It is a pilgrimage to the fairgrounds.
Yeah. So when you went that first year in 97, did you and Judy just go for a weekend of it to see, hey, what's this about? We don't know if we'll like it. You know, I hope what people younger than us who listen to this can remember is in the late 90s when we were traveling, you had email, but you probably didn't have a laptop. If you like, you had like paper guides to things. So you're not like jumping on Yelp and seeing where's the hot thing or looking at Twitter. Like you're saying, we're just going to go and experience this event that we've read about in the newspaper or we've heard people talk about, but there's not, you know, like, so what did you know going in and how long did you stay that first year?
Yeah. I think we went for 4 days the first year because we went for that second weekend. So we were there Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. Maybe we came home Monday.
Yeah.
But to your point, there's a great story my friend Rick Smart tells about his first time in New Orleans for Jazz Fest. And you're right, this is before cell phones and internets and Yelps and all that stuff. And he found himself the first night that he was there at like the municipal auditorium, like the largest venue you could possibly imagine. I can't remember what band he was seeing, but it was a fairly mainstream popular band at the time. And he tells the story that he was there and he kind of looked around. He's like, okay, there's gotta be something more to this town than, you know, because essentially he was at a concert, which he could have been at in Chicago
or,
you know, whatever. And so when you start to dig deep, and I am a huge believer because I had my Jazz Fest mentors and I have mentored others on Jazz Fest. You really need the inside local knowledge.
Yeah.
And luckily I've been blessed with some really incredible friends who spent years and years in New Orleans. My friend Dave Margulies is the first one that comes to mind. He actually went to Tulane. He produced concerts and and records for bands, the Radiators, you know, a popular New Orleans band. And so when I want to know in those days, certainly, and even now, when I want to know what's going on in town during Jazz Fest, I always want to know where Dave Margulies is. Because wherever he is, there's something good happening.
Okay.
You know, and so, and there's two pieces to it. So you go to the fairgrounds during the day, and then the nighttime comes, and there's two pieces to the night: food and music.
Okay. Yep.
During the day, there's food. There's tons of food on the fairgrounds as well.
Yeah.
Which is a whole thing, and we all have our favorites, and you know, every year there's like the first stop for many people. Like for Judy, she goes right to the soft shell crab po' boy stand.
And gets
a soft shell crab po' boy. For me, it's the cochon de lait po' boy, which is basically pulled pork on a, there's this dish called crawfish Monica. These are all stands at the fairgrounds.
Yeah.
Crawfish Monica is essentially the best macaroni and cheese you've ever had with crawfish.
Oh, wow.
And then there's stuff like the mango freeze, which imagine mango sorbet on a really hot day, that just, you know, fresh mangoes. And then there's rose mint iced tea. And I can go on and on. And so you eat on the fairgrounds during the day, and that's incredible. And everyone's got their favorites and whatnot. Yeah. And at night, one of two things happens. You go to dinner.
Mm-hmm.
And or you go see music and or eat dinner. There's always a combination of the two. And I, for years, have felt that whether I'm at another show seeing music or at a dinner with friends, it's like equal. Like there's really no, I think there are very similar experiences. A fine meal in New Orleans with friends or being at a show with killer music. So yeah, it is a lot of logistics.
I'm curious. That's what so when I think of Nolens, I think of a city where I would want to park my car and not drive the whole trip.
You got it.
So are there like shuttles that go back and forth between the fairgrounds and Bourbon Street? Yes. Is the fairgrounds secretly downtown and I should look at a map?
It is not secretly downtown.
Okay.
It is conveniently placed outside of downtown.
Okay.
So this kind of goes back to my New Orleans origin story, which is because I live there.
Right.
And spent a bunch of time there. I know my way around.
Yeah.
And it's a confusing town. It's the Crescent City, you know, which means, you know, if you start on one side of town and end up on the other side of town, it's not a straight line. It's a very few straight lines in that town.
Right.
Because I know my way around, I rent a car.
Oh, you do?
I would say 95% of the people there do not rent a car.
Okay.
And so obviously with the advent of Uber, that's been really helpful. But yes, there are shuttles, buses to and from the fairgrounds from various places. But I love having a car. There's a great story I have. This was Jazz Fest 1999, it must have been, because my father passed away in November of 1998. And when he passed away, he still had about a year left on the lease of his car.
Okay.
My father drove a really big 740 IL BMW.
Like
the big Mac Daddy touring BMWs at the time. With the license plate of Roll'em. Because my dad loved to play craps. Well, he had time. We were still paying for the lease after he passed away. So I took it upon myself to drive that car to New Orleans for Jazz Fest. And mentored my younger brother, Andy Gadiel, and my brother from another mother, Ted Kartzman. And I put them in the back of the BMW, and we cruised down to New Orleans in this Roll'em. It was forest green BMW.
Oh my God.
We were cruising around town in that car.
Did people think you were celebrities and they just couldn't figure out who you were?
thought we were celebrities. And then I ended up driving celebrities around because they were like, yeah, let me get. So I'm driving up. Never forget. There was a vocalist who sang with a band called Galactic. He's since passed.
Oh, I've seen Galactic. I saw them in Durango. I got their drumsticks at the end of the show. I saw them for like a Mardi Gras show in Durango, Colorado.
Yeah. What year was that?
I lived in Durango 99 to 2001.
There you go. So Houseman was in the band.
Yeah.
And he fronted the band and he was the singer. And, you know, just through however what was going on at the time, next thing I know, I'm driving around the Houseman through New Orleans in my dad's forest green BMW with the Roland license plate. And I'll just never forget those memories.
Oh, that's outstanding. I had a friend come visit me in Durango. His nickname was Ice Pick. And so he had a personalized license plate and we went up to Ouray. It was winter and Ouray has ice climbing, right? They freeze.
Yeah.
And we parked to go watch people ice climb. Neither of us were athletic.
Yeah.
But people definitely were looking at his license plate, looking at him, because it had to have been a famous ice climber. But no, it was just like two kids from Illinois who did not know.
Well, I'll never forget. I mean, so the fairgrounds is like in the middle of this like neighborhood outside of downtown.
Yeah.
And they kind of close off the streets around it. But if you just know where you're going and, you know, act like you've been there before, you can get around the cones. And
yeah,
we would literally drive. We drove that thing right up, parked it, you know, outside the gates and nobody said a word. I don't think you can do that anymore. They've cracked down on that a bit, but
I'm sure.
But that's the beautiful thing, because the neighbors all around the fairgrounds, they rent out, like, you park on their lawn. So we love parking. There's two places we love, like Miss Joyce. Uh-huh. And my friend Dave Margulies introduced me to Miss Joyce years ago. And she's got a house a couple blocks from the fairgrounds and she parks cars on her lawn. And it's beautiful. And then there's a high school just across the street where, what is it? The Cabrini Boys, it's a Cabrini school, Cabrini Boys Club, the men's club of this like private school.
Yeah.
They got a big patio inside. They rent out spaces in there. And of course, they're like, they're serving burgers and dogs and Bloody Marys. And so you park your car, you grab a Bloody Mary, and you walk into the fest. And it's the thing that I want, one of many, many things I love about New Orleans during Jazz Fest is it takes over the entire town.
Mm-hmm.
And everybody is on the same vibe.
Yeah.
Like there's this oneness. And I don't know how else to describe it, but like everybody's kind of keyed into the same thing. And there's a radio station, WWOZ.
Mm-hmm.
And it's quite frankly, probably the greatest radio station in the universe. And so everyone is kind of listening to WWOZ during Jazz Fest.
Yeah.
And so everywhere you go, I'm in my car, I've got OZ on my radio. People are sitting on their porches. They've got OZ on their radios.
Yeah.
And it's just like, it's like in this like whole universe bubble. And it's really, really, really cool. I've not experienced anything like that. It was the first time I'd ever experienced like that since I had been seeing the Grateful Dead for a long time.
Yeah.
Where everyone was there, everyone was going to the show. And it was like, we're all there for the same reason. Like,
right.
To just like have fun and be part of that experience. That's what the Jazz Fest ended up being for me after the Grateful Dead stopped touring, was like, oh, this is that same feeling. I remember this. We're all there to have fun. We're all there for this experience. And it's really neat. It's a really neat opportunity.
Nice. And what year did you realize the shirt was a thing? And you had to get on board.
That would be 1997. Yeah, that would be the first
year.
Year one. It was like, okay, you know. And it's, I know people that are listening can't read it.
But I'll find photographs online. I'll link to this so people can, yeah.
They're not subtle shirts. This is probably the subtlest of them.
Yeah. So
they're a bit loud.
It's so, got a very, when you think of, to me, it's got the vibe of you're a cool guy in the 1990s and your necktie is how you're going to show your personality.
Right.
It has the kind of the feel of like a necktie that would signal I'm cool, but it's a whole shirt of it.
It's a whole shirt of it. It doesn't really play well outside of New Orleans. I have tried somewhat unsuccessfully, and it doesn't. Those who know, they know.
Right.
And most don't know, and they're like, what the hell are you wearing?
But like if you wore it to a concert of someone you had seen at Jazz Fest in Chicago, yeah. like somebody would be like,
got it.
I know you.
Yeah, I got it. Yeah, you're in.
Yeah.
It was an early adoption for me.
And again, I
think it was because of that feeling that I got. Mm-hmm. It was that, this is that feeling I got, you know, again, coming from my Grateful Dead days of like looking for that oneness to be with everyone where everyone's on the same wavelength.
Yeah.
Now I will say the thing I've always felt is truly amazing about Jazz Fest is I'll talk to 100 people that go to Jazz Fest afterwards. We'll come back and, oh, you were there. I was there. Da, da, da.
Yeah.
And everyone will have the most incredible experience and doing completely different things. Like I'll have never seen them.
Yeah.
We'll never have crossed paths. And they'll, but oh, we had the greatest time ever. And the other person says, we had the greatest time ever. Like, how does everyone have the greatest time ever separately at the in the same place?
It's
fascinating.
What's really interesting to me is it sounds like that even though there's so much you could do once you leave the fairgrounds, because the whole city is on board, it sounds like you're really free from FOMO. Like you're free from the fear of missing out because you know whatever room you're in is the room you're supposed to be in tonight. And it sounds like a real embracing of the present, the moment, like I'm in the right place, the right people are in this room, and that you're not chasing the cool somewhere else. You're just like, I'm in the right place.
I mean, that's certainly the goal.
Okay.
A friend of mine who has since passed, named Alan Dorchak, used to say, don't judge Jazz Fest by what you saw, but by what you had to miss to see what you saw. Which is a little convoluted and I'm still trying to figure out. He was a little bit of a riddle-ish guy, but essentially the piece is, oh wow, I could be in six different places right now.
Right.
They're all incredible.
Right.
So yeah, wow, I'm here. And to your point, like, yes, I'm here, I'm present. It is rare, but it happens where I'm like, made a misturn here, you know, like just sometimes that happens.
Yeah.
But for the most part, I would say with 99% accuracy, it really doesn't matter where you turn exactly. You're in a good spot.
Yeah.
Whether that's good music, good friends, good food, good something. Pretty cool.
You and Judy go from being, are you, when you go now, is it the full like 10-day experience?
Yeah. So I have gone to Jazz Fest for 24 hours. I would call that my 24 on the floor.
Okay.
Where I fly in, I land at, you know, whatever, 3 o'clock in the afternoon, and I fly out 3 o'clock in the afternoon the next day.
Okay.
Because that was all I could, that's all
make
I could
happen.
Yeah. I could all make happen. I do love going for extended periods of time. I've sort of peaked out though at around 7 days.
Okay.
And I'm a big, so one of, you know, if you go to Jazz Fest, you're either a first weekend or a second weekender, or you're the whole time.
Okay.
And there are people that are like, oh no, second weekend is the better of the two. First weekend's better too. There's like a whole, you know, whatever subculture to that.
Yeah.
I have found my preferred is arriving the Thursday before the first weekend and leaving the Wednesday before the second weekend.
Okay.
And my theory around that is when I arrive in the, when it starts, other than the people living there, everyone who comes to New Orleans for Jazz Fest, they're all starting at the same place that first day.
Everyone's fresh.
Everyone's fresh.
They're hydrated. They're caffeinated. Yeah. Their feet feel good. They've
slept. They have, they've slept. They've got sleep. Right. Exactly. They haven't ingested all sorts of things.
Yeah. And so
by the time the second weekend rolls around,
yeah,
it is like now people are like revved up and ready to go.
Yeah.
And I have just found that to be a little too, that speed a little too high for my engine. So yeah. 6-7 days and, you know, and Judy and I, we either are there together. We're there sometimes, you know, typically sometimes what happens is I'll go a little early and she'll stay a little later.
Yeah.
You know, just for kid coverage and whatnot.
Yeah. But,
yeah. It's yeah. And then obviously I've got plenty of friends that are there for 2 weeks and wouldn't have it any other way.
Yeah. That sounds like, I feel like the last time I went to South by Southwest in Austin, I would go for like the marketing tech part of it. And sitting in the airport at the end of tech, the tech week, and people are just busted.
Yeah.
And then you're watching the people come off the plane for film or for music. And you're like, look how much energy they have. Yeah. All I want to do is go home and sleep for a week. But that changing of the guard in a long festival that takes over a town is like so visible.
So visible.
Yeah.
So visible. So palpable. Yeah, absolutely.
Let's start with fairgrounds. What are some of the your best fairground music moments?
Yeah. Some of my best fairgrounds music moments are stumbling up. So there's, at the fairgrounds, I think there's 10 stages.
Whoa. Maybe okay.
Eight to 10 stages. Everything from like the big main stage.
Right.
Where you would expect main stage to then tiers down.
Yeah.
And to like small, and there's some are stages outdoors, some are tents.
Mm-hmm.
Some are just random stages in the middle of nowhere. And some of my, yeah, some of my, my favorite moments are just sort of stumbling on. And there's a schedule. Every day you get the schedule.
Yeah.
Who's playing? This is, you know, this is what's going on. So you know going into the day, you're like, okay, I want to be here. I want to be here. And, you know, getting around the fairgrounds is a whole art and experience piece. And there are days where sometimes you're like moving from stage to stage. And some days you're like set up and you don't move.
Yeah.
Let's see. I remember, I can't remember what year it was, seeing Buckwheat Zydeco, Cajun Cajun player. And the next thing I know, my friend Ellen Miller is up on stage with him playing a harmonica. And it's like shown on the video screens. And I'm like, what the, you know? I saw John Prine on the fairgrounds.
Mm.
And he's at one of my absolute favorites.
Yeah.
So there's three tents at the fairgrounds. There's a jazz tent,
mm-hmm.
there's a blues tent, and there's a gospel tent.
Ooh, okay.
And being in the gospel tent,
mm-hmm.
Especially on a Sunday morning, and being part of that experience of full on gospel music, where there's a 20-person gospel band on stage.
Yeah.
And just everyone's just standing there with hands up in the air, hallelujah. And that I mean, quite frankly, that is a top peak spiritual experience. I saw, I'm trying to think, it's a blur, but what I was gonna say is a lot of my greatest like musical experience on the fairgrounds are just like randomly happening on, you know, some stage. And some band's playing, you have no idea who it is.
Mm-hmm.
And you'd think they're like the greatest. You're like, how is this band not the, you know, the most popular band in the universe?
Yeah.
So, yeah, it just depends. I mean, you know, the Neville brothers, as you know, they would close out. They were always the classic Sunday closeout of the fairgrounds. I mentioned Bruce Springsteen.
Yeah.
He did a set after Katrina that is still regarded as one of the greatest sets of music.
What was it like that, those first couple jazz fests back after Katrina? Because Katrina was a September, so it was in the fall. Correct. Were they able to reconvene that next spring? Or
they did. They reconvened, and I was there that first jazz fest after Katrina, and it was a weird vibe.
Yeah,
you would still see the markings on the buildings, you know, where they were, you know, checked off whether they found people inside. We that was the only year I've ever stayed in a hotel that I had to take an elevator up to my room. Normally I rent a Airbnb
and stay in the house.
But that year we're like, yeah, let's just stay in a hotel.
Yeah.
And I remember being in the hotel and being up above, and I would say 60-70% of the houses still had blue tarps on top, whether there were whole, because, you know, people had to bust through their ceilings to like get saved,
get out.
And so there was just a pale, you know, like a, just a, yeah, just like a something hovering in the air.
Yeah.
That first year. It since has moved on, but no, that was freaky. That was a weird experience.
Yeah. Yeah. So they brought Bruce back that year, or they brought Bruce that year.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Is that a performance that's available? I had someone on to talk about Bruce Springsteen, and he said that Bruce has really been, I'll just talk about him like he's my buddy, Mr. Bruce.
Yeah.
That he's been releasing a lot more of videos and archival footage, but is that a performance that's available?
I believe so. So the Jazz Fest and through the radio station WWOZ, they have a tremendous amount of recordings available. And actually right now, as we sit here today, so Jazz Fest, of course, was postponed last year because of the pandemic, and it was again postponed this year because of the pandemic. They have rescheduled it for October.
Yeah.
So, however, what they're doing right now, this weekend and next weekend, is they're calling it Jazz Festing in Place. And so WWOZ is playing archival recordings from the last 50 years of Jazz Fest.
Wow.
And I believe some of this stuff is available through the website or whatever. I don't know if the Bruce set is available, but if it is, it's pretty special.
Yeah, it looks like there's at least some of it is has made it to his YouTube station.
Yeah.
His YouTube station. Oh my gosh, channel.
yeah there was I don't know if this one's up there, but he did City of Ruins,
the first hit.
Yeah.
So and were that, you there for that one?
I was not at the fairgrounds for that performance.
Yeah.
But that was a pretty special one.
Yeah, that's what your friend was talking about when he said think about what you missed in order to see what you saw.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. I remembered a set of by a New Orleans musician named Anders Osborne, and he had just come out with a new album, which I really love. But what I love, what I reminded most about the set was the people that I was with during that moment, where and Jazz Fest, it just draws so many people from all over. And I'll just never forget sitting there during that set, and a friend of mine who I think I met in 1987 at a summer camp in Colorado comes walking by me. I hadn't seen him in probably 15 years. And so, you know, those moments are indelibly burned into my synapses forever. And so there's a lot of those. There's some evening shows that are really burned into the memory. There was one night, again, referencing my friend Dave Margulies, who said, you got to get to the House of Blues Parish Room right now.
Okay.
And this was, I think it was 1 o'clock in the morning. And you know, if he says get to the House of Blues Parish Room right now at 1 o'clock in the morning, you go.
Okay. You go.
And there was a trio. It was a guitar player named James Blood Ulmer, mm-hmm. a bass player named Jamaluddin Takuma, and a drummer G. Calvin Weston. Mm-hmm. And this James Blood Ulmer is like a, I don't even know how to describe him. Others can describe him much better. Hard rock, but like acid rock guitar player. Just sensory overload on the guitar. And so these three guys, they threw it down for 2 hours of the most mind-bending music I've ever experienced in my life.
Wow.
And I was there, I was with my brother and Dave, and I think there were like 10 other people in the room at the time. And but what I really remember about that is we walked out of that show, my head is just completely blown about what I just experienced. I was like, I cannot see any more music, but let's go to the casino.
You've got to wind down.
Yeah. Wind down. It's whatever. It's 4 o'clock in the morning. Let's go to the casino. Right. And so the three of us walk over to the casino, and after seeing the show, and at that moment, I'm like, you know, and I'll just invoke my dad again, you know, who was a craps player and taught me to play the game, taught my brother how to play the game. And so we walk up to the craps table. I buy in for $300. And at 6:30 in the morning, I walked out with $4,500. And
so the trip is paid for.
And then some. And then some. Yeah, we literally got to the fairgrounds the next day and was like, give me one of those. You know, I have shirts. I have Hawaii shirts. I have chairs. I have umbrellas. I have satchels. I have, you know, and we still obviously talk about that, you know. The power trio.
That is outstanding.
Yeah.
And are you making plans for this special delayed October Jazz Fest?
You know, I'm not sure yet. I know I want to be there because I just miss New Orleans so much.
Yeah.
And we'll see. We'll see. I'm not making plans.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm not. I'm more making plans for next year at this time. But October, I won't be surprised if I'm there.
Yeah.
And I won't be surprised if I'm not there. Like, you know, the whole reentry. I mean, talk about, you know, as we talked about before, of like getting into a small club, sweating up against people. Like, I'm still not even comfortable eating at a restaurant. Mm-hmm. 100%. So that idea, it's not for lack of want.
Yeah.
It's just like, okay, how do we ease back into this thing? You know, both for me and I mean, I do want to support that city though. They need a lot of help. I mean, that's a city that's mainly based on tourism. So it, you know, it can't be great right now.
Yeah. This year has been devastating for tourism, well, for everything. So what are the Gay Deal pro tips for your first Jazz Fest?
Got it. So the first one is don't forget to eat.
Excellent advice.
So that's the first one. But really, even before that is you need a running partner.
Okay.
And you just need one.
Okay.
So a lot of people go to Jazz Fest with groups of people. And God bless. And I go with, you know, I mean, I go and meet up with a lot of people, but essentially, like, you need one running partner who you're rolling with.
Yeah.
Just because there's so, like, there's so many things to do, it's a lot. It's hard to, like, all decide if we're going to the same place.
Yeah. So, or if you go with a lot of people, you're like, these are our pairs. We're going to be it's an amazing race. You split off. And if we see each other at multiple venues, that's great. We'll reconvene.
Yeah.
We'll have breakfast together. Yeah.
Yeah. We'll all decide we're going to this show together and we'll all be together. We'll all go to the fairground, you know, go to the fairgrounds and like, we'll all set up camp next to each other, you know, our chairs next to each other. But like, it's just hard to run with a lot of people. So you need one running partner. I believe. Don't forget to eat. Don't forget to hydrate.
Yeah.
And just let it, it's not a, like to that point, it's an opportunity to let go a little bit. Mm-hmm. You know, one thing I will say about when I say, oh, I go to the Jazz and Heritage Festival and someone says, well, I don't really like jazz, you know, and I get that. And I think what they're typically normally talking about is like sort of traditional jazz, like Chuck Mangione jazz kind of thing.
Sure.
And that's just not what it is. And so expanding your point of view, expanding your mind to what music is all about. I mean, one of the heritage part of the Jazz and Heritage Festival, where, you know, they're going back into the roots of New Orleans music, which is really the roots of American music, which is really the roots of international music and the French and the, you know, the whole Cajun culture. You know, typically, you know, you'll get bands from Africa, tons, you know, there's a Congo Square stage. Mm-hmm. Where they get, you know, world famous international African performers to come and play on this stage. So just really expand your mind to what you normally listen to. And when you can do that, when you can really let go, there's just an incredible wealth of entertainment out there. And just be open to it all. I think that's, you know.
So the other thing I thought when we were making plans for this, had I put money down, I thought, and this just is because you and John Eisen talk about it, I thought we were going to talk about fish.
Yes.
So I have really enjoyed learning about the Jazz Fest because I've heard about it for years.
Yeah. And I love Fish. I mean, I love the band Fish.
Yeah.
They're incredible. They have played Jazz Fest before.
Oh, they have?
Yes. I think they've played it twice now. I would say they're not some of their better performances, but
okay.
Jazz Fest, it's just deeper. It's Fish is incredible, but like, where did Fish get influenced?
Right.
Where are they taking their inspiration from?
Mm-hmm.
That's to me, a lot of Jazz Fest is about that, is layers deeper than popular music. I mean, and they have popular music. They'll have the popular bands, whether it's Fish or Pitbull, you know, those artists play, you know, Jimmy Buffett is a huge Jazz Fest performer.
What? Really?
Yes. Huge. Gets probably the biggest crowds ever is for Jimmy Buffett.
Huh.
Yeah. Now here's the beautiful thing is, if you don't like Jimmy Buffett, there's 10 other bands you could be seeing at the same time that, you know, so I tend to be of the smaller the club, the more I enjoy it.
Yeah.
The more unheard of artist, the more I enjoy it. I love going out to eat when I'm in New Orleans. This will not surprise you. But like that to me is as great of an experience as like going to see a concert, to see a show, of being, there's a restaurant, my favorite restaurant in
the entire world. About food.
Yeah. So my favorite restaurant in the entire world is a place called Brightson's.
Mm-hmm.
And the chef, Frank Brightson, is a New Orleans legend.
Okay.
He's been doing it for 30, 40 years. And he operates this restaurant out of a cute little house uptown in New Orleans. And it is my number one favorite restaurant in the world. And to be at that restaurant with Judy and my friend Dave Margulies and my friend, you know, Steve Schumann and Rob Steinberg and Jonathan Bloom and you know, and all the, you know, all the people, and my friend Alan Kanoff has been there with us, and all of these people, to sit in that restaurant and have a meal in this home. It's literally a house.
Yeah.
That is some of the best experiences of my life. You know, other food spots that I have to hit. There's a place that just closed called Avery's on Tulane. Unfortunately they closed. Mr. B's does the barbecue shrimp. And if you know barbecue, New Orleans barbecue shrimp, there's nothing barbecued about it.
Okay.
They just call it barbecued. I'm a huge crawfish guy.
Yeah.
I love my crawfish. There's a place uptown called Frankie and Johnny's that is just classic, you know, give me 2 pounds of crawfish. It comes on a big giant platter and you just, you know, you dig in, you know, I'm missing 100 different places that I like to eat, but those experiences, those meals with friends during Jazz Fest, I will never replace those for anything in the world.
Outstanding. Great. So your first weekend with a couple in between days.
Yeah.
You prefer to stay in a rented house.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
If you know New Orleans, having a car is useful.
Yes, if you know the town. If you don't, it's you're and Uber is pretty prevalent right now.
Yeah, so that really helps the experience, and stay hydrated and eat good food and just be open to the experience.
And find a mentor.
And find a mentor.
Yeah, yeah. Find someone who you can reach out to and say, "Hey, what's going on tonight? You know any? You know, because you know there's the herd mentality of like, oh, this is where everybody's going. Right. Everybody in quotes, you know, where it's like, you know, and sometimes, oh no, we're going over here instead. Again, they're both great experiences. It's just a matter of what you're looking for. I remember the last Jazz Fest I was at. So this was been, 19. There's a place called Sidebar Nola.
Mm-hmm.
And it's super random. There's not much else around there. And they were doing shows, and the shows are probably, I don't know, there's maybe 20 people that can fit in this, 30 people that can fit in this little club. Mm-hmm. There's an artist, Papa Molly.
Okay.
Playing. He's a guitar player, and he was playing with a guy named Bobby Vega, who's a bass player that used to play in one of my favorite bands called Zero. And Papa Molly and Bobby Vega were playing, and Papa Molly told this story about an astronaut friend of his that went up into space, and he took a picture of Papa Molly's CD. Out and with the window behind him looking back at Earth. And he tells this story, and then he pulls out the CD and passes it around the room, and we all look at this CD, and it was just one of the coolest freaking experiences of my entire life. And of this astronaut who took a picture of his CD. And so those are the nuggets. Where I'm like, this is just really special.
Yeah.
And, please join us. Come on down, Leah.
I have never been to New Orleans.
It
has been on my list for 20 years. Like I've wanted to go forever. I don't know. And because of my boss, Bill, he's always said like, absolutely not. You're not going to Mardi Gras. The first trip you're going to Jazz Fest. You're not going to Mardi Gras. And I've yet to make it down, but maybe it'll be one of my post-pandemic trips.
Find yourself a running partner.
Yeah.
I would not go in October. I would wait till next April. Last weekend of April is the first weekend of Jazz Fest. And just come on down and it all works out.
Great. Is there anything about Jazz Fest in any stories that you're like, ugh, if I hang up, And Dave listens to this and he's like, Aaron, I can't believe you didn't tell her this story.
I mean, there's probably 20 of those stories that that are out there. You know, the one of the New Orleans is obviously it's gone through, you know, it struggles because of because of tourism. But there's one spot in particular, a club called Tippy Tina's, which I have always referred to it as that is the Mecca. That is, it is, you know, talk about fish. When I lived in New Orleans in 1993, I saw fish at Tippy Tina's.
Okay.
Which is, you know, a small club. But over the years, that has just continued to be the rock. That's the gold standard of clubs to see music in New Orleans. And there's incredible ones. There's a bar called the Maple Leaf, which is my favorite small venue in the entire world. Mm-hmm. If you go to the Maple Leaf, they have a, you know, it's a small room, but there's a patio out back that could frankly be one of the coolest places in the universe. But Tippy Tina's a couple of years ago, literally right before the pandemic, I think, was purchased by the band Galactic.
Oh, wow.
Yes. To keep it as a music club.
Yeah.
And they do. And it's a club worth saving. And okay. So what I would just say to anyone who's interested is check out Tippy Tina's. They have live recordings. They have a record club that, you know, they're putting out records. They actually just put out a record of a show by the Radiators, private show by the Radiators. And support, that's a great way to support New Orleans if you can't be there. And I just want to push that out and just encourage people to dig in. There's some really cool stuff, but yeah, Tippy Tina's.
Nice.
Shout out to my tips.
Awesome. Well, thank you, Aaron. It's been a blast.
Oh, I could talk about Jazz Fest all day.
Where can people find you on the internet? Should they be in need of creative coaching or some consulting for a retail spot? Where can people find you?
Yeah. So website is currently under construction, but GadielGroup.com. has my contact information. LinkedIn, Aaron Gadiel, has, you know, my bio and whatnot. You can see how I attempt to describe myself, which is not easy. And love to talk to anyone and about anything, you know, fully. I'm here to support.
Great. Great. Well, I'll make sure to link to all of that in the show notes. And I'm going to also link to a number of the venues and the different things you've mentioned. I'll try and find some photos of the how are you shirt.
How are you?
I know it's shocking that I've never been there.
All good. You, Leah, when you go, you'll be like, oh right, this is what it's all about. Got it. Thank you. Why don't I? And then you'll probably become a lifer. I can see it.
Yeah. Awesome. Well, have a wonderful afternoon. I hope you guys are, the sun is shining in Chicago, so I hope it gets to you in Michigan as well.
Thank you. Thanks, Leah.
Thank you for listening to Finding Favorites with Leah Jones. Please make sure to subscribe and drop us a 5-star review on iTunes. Now, go out and enjoy your favorite things.